Daf Kuf Yutes. The Gemara begins 3 lines down. Amar Mar, quoting from yesterday's Daf, that Habanim Natlu, maybe it's 2 days ago actually, Habanim Natlu Bezuchus Avi Aviyam, U Bezuchus Avi Imo Sehen. So he said if they were the children of the Meraglin or the Misloninim, so their fathers didn't get any chelek. So now the sons lose out because they're not getting any Yerusha from their father. So they could go jump to their grandfather, either the paternal or maternal grandfather, if they were of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, so they would get a Zechus as well. So the Gemara says, V'hatani b'zechus atman. The Braisa says that the B'nai Banim, the Banim, B'nai Mislonim, and B'nai Meraglim actually were Zocha on their own behalf, matman, not because of their grandfathers. And so the Gemara says, Lokasha, the Braisa is in the steer. It's talking about two different scenarios, or really two different opinions. Ha'kaman damar liyotzei Mitzrayim, ha'kaman damar libay ha'aretz. According to the one who thinks that we go based on Yotzei Mitzrayim, so then the B'nai Meraglim could get from their grandfathers. If their grandfathers were of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, so then even though the B'nai Meraglim can't get from their father's Meraglim, because the Meraglim lost their chelek, if their grandfathers were of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, that's how they would get from the grandfathers. But the opinion who holds, you go based on Ba'i Ha'aretz, so then they earned the Yerusha based on their own merit, that they were Ba'i Ha'aretz. So that's the machlokis between the two different brises. Now the Gemara suggests, V'bai Seima, Havaha L'bai Ha'aretz. Now this suggestion is a little bit confusing, not confusing, but not so clear in that to how it's working out. But really, this both brises in yesterday and today's brise, it's going according to Ba'i Ha'aretz, based on who entered into Eretz Yisrael. Depends how old they were. If they were 20 years old or above, so then they were considered by Haaretz, and they were Zocha, the Atman. But if they were not 20, so they weren't of age to be Zocha based on by Haaretz, so then it reverts back to the grandfather. So, but we just said here, it goes based on by Haaretz, not based on Yotzei Mitzrayim. So there's a Rashbam here, a long Rashbam here. What he ends up saying is that this Braisa goes according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who holds really both of them. That goes based on either by Haaretz or Yotzei Mitzrayim, even though the Gemara doesn't say that, but it really meant to say that it's based on by Haaretz and Yotzei Mitzrayim, and it depends on the age. If, again, they were over the age of 20, they're Yotzei, they were Zocha Ayde Atzman. If they're under age, they're only Zocha because of their grandfathers. Okay, Gemara now says, quotes from yesterday's daf, the Shaya Bechor Notel Shnei Chalakim. The Bechor gets two portions. So asks the Gemara now, the Vamai Rai Huvein Bechor Notel Bereikim Muchsak. We know the klal is that a Bechor doesn't take things that are potentially supposed to come to them. The Bechor only takes double portion of that which the father already was Muchsak in. So we're talking about Benos Tzlafchad here, that they're supposed to take the father Tzlafchad had he been alive. He was the oldest of the B'nai Chefer. So Tzlafchad would have taken Shnei Chalakim. But he wasn't alive, and he never took it. So how could Benos Tzlafchad take Shnei Chalakim if it was only Roy, not Muchsak? And the Gemara answers, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, B'seidos Olam. It's referring to the pegs that held the tents together. Look at the Rashbam. This is the last medium wide line down in the Rashbam. He says, B'yaseidos Olam, Kolomar, in other words, B'metaltalin Shayalahem B'midbar. In other types of movable objects they had in the Midbar, Kigon Yaseidos Shetokin Ben Olahem, the pegs they'd used to pitch their tents, B'shar Metaltalin Shein Muchsokin Ben, other types of properties that were movable, U'lahachin Nakid Yaseidos Olam. So if this really includes all types of Metaltalin, so why did the Gemara single out Dafka Yaseidos? Divade L'chulun Haya Olam. Everybody certainly had pegs for their tent. Vein Adam b'midbar below Ohel. No one was in the midbar without a tent, a place to live. So that's why they chose Yaseidos, because everybody had Yaseidos. If you chose some other object, I don't know, plates. Maybe not everybody had plates or bowls. This was something that Vada everybody had, and that's why it was chosen according to the Rashbam. Aval b'nachlas Eretz Yisrael lo notel chelik b'choro. But when we say that Benos Tzlafchad took Shnei Chalakim, it only refers to Metaltlin and does not refer to the land. Because again, the land would only be Roy, not considered Muchsa. Now other Rishonim explained why Yaseidos Olam were chosen. So the Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted in the Rashba as saying, because you would have had a Havamina, that Yaseidos Olam are considered Karka, since they're attached to the ground, that's their function. Kamashvan, Yaseidos Olam are actually considered Metaltlin. That's the Chiddush of the Rabbeinu Chananel. But either way, we're saying here that Eina Chanami, that the Bechor does not take or did not take Shnei Chalakim of Eretz Yisrael, because that was only Roy, wasn't Muchsak.
Didn't we say at the end of yesterday's daf that the finish of the pasuk doesn't tell you that Eretz Yisrael is muhsekas.
Yeah, so I'm not sure the Gemara is going to give the answer in just a moment. I don't know why the Gemara, maybe they read it at different times, but the Gemara kind of forgot that answer for now. So then the Gemara asks, Moser, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer benos safcha natlu dal chalakim. They took four portions. That was yesterday's daf. Shenemar vayiplu chevle Menashe asara. There were 10 portions of Menashe. Menashe had 6, and the other 4 went to benos safcha. They did quite well for themselves. So then the Gemara says. So we see clearly here that this is referring to karka, not referring to metalton. How do you see this is referring to karka? So look at the Rashbam. Rashbam writes in 3 wide lines down. Chevle Menashe hayinu karka shechalkin bechevel. It was a rope. You measure the land with a rope, and so we see that this is clearly referring to land, and yet they still got 4 chalakim, 2 of which were the bechor. So we see they did have not only a metalton, but even bekarka. So how could they get it? Back to square one. We said that a bechor only takes the roi, only b'muchzak, not roi. And so the Gemara answers, Ela Marabba, Eretz Yisrael muchzakasi. Eretz Yisrael is considered muchzakas, it's considered as if they have a hold on it, and therefore, they can take Shnei Chalakim. Now, Yad Rama explains why is it considered Muchsekesi. So he has this chiddush that Muchsekes is when someone holds on to it. The father had it, so no one else could take it away from him. But he has the right to give it to somebody else. So if I have possession of it, I can give it to whoever I want. There's no right for the Bechor to take double portion. It's only something that he actually passed on. But Yad Rama says, since Eretz Yisrael is promised to the Avos, and no one else would be able to take it, that's why Eretz Yisrael is considered muchzak, even though it wasn't yet physically muchzak, it was considered ki'ilu muchzak, since no one had the right to take it away, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a haftacha, and haftacha is considered good enough to create a muchzakis on it. Gemara asks a question. Meisive Amar Rabbi Chidka, he says, Shimon Hashkimuni Hayali Chaver Mitami de Rabbi Kiva. I had a good friend who's a chaver, his name was Shimon Hashkimuni. The kach haya Rabbi Shimon Hashkamuni Omer. This is what he said. Yodea haya Moshe Rabbeinu shebenos slavchad yorshushem. Moshe knew that benos slavchad were worthy of inheriting their father. That much he knew. But what he didn't know was that avaloi haya yodea im nolos chelik b'chara im lav. He wasn't sure if they get double portion or not. That was a suffix that Moshe Rabbeinu had. V'ru'uya haya saparshas nachlas lich kasev ayde Moshe. And really the whole parsha of nachlas, it was always supposed to be part of the Torah. And it really should have been merited to Moshe Rabbeinu. He should have been credited with it, however. But b'nos slavcha, their ambition, their interest in figuring out the halacha, their zocha to have it written in their behalf. The Odea, another case, haya Moshe Rabbeinu shem mekoshesh b'misa. He was aware that mekoshesh aged him. Was chay misa shenemar mechale mos yumas, that one gets death for violating Shabbos. He wasn't aware of which death to give them. And really, the whole story about Parshas Mekoshes, the whole halachas of skila for Chil Shabbos should have been written Ayde Moshe. Since he was guilty, he earned, not in a positive way, but he earned this parsha to be written on his behalf. So, Lamedcha to teach us the klal she megalglin zechus haidei zakai v'chov haidei chova. To teach us that whenever there's a merit, a person gets more merits on top of that, but no slavchad ambition to want to continue their legacy of their father. So there is Ocha that parshas on their behalf. And the Mekoshesh, to his dismay that he violated Shabbos, he had this whole Chil Shabbos parsha named in his name, which isn't a bad thing. So now, what's the relevance of this? So if you really think Eretz Yisrael is under the control of the Avos, so what was the shaila that Moshe Benu had? If really it's Muchzekes, Eretz Yisrael, so Vadai Bnos Slavchad would take Pishnayim. What's the shaila here? And so the Gemara answers that he gufa kamestapek mistapkale. This was the exact suffix of Moshe Benu. He wasn't sure if it was considered Muchzekes or not. That was the suffix. We know it's correct right now, but we weren't sure. That was his whole shaila. So what was his shaila based on? D'chsiv, I'm going to go back to toes in the bottom after we finish this piece here, but let's just finish this good stopping point. So the shaila was as follows. D'chsiv, the pasuk says, V'nasati osa lachem morasha ani Hashem. I'm going to give it, osa, I'm going to give Eretz Yisrael lachem to you, as a morasha, I am Hashem. So what's his shaila? Yerusha hilachem me'avoseichem. Is this a Yerusha you're going to be receiving directly from your grandfathers, meaning that your avos had a chazak on it? Or odilma shemarishin vein yorshim. Or maybe the grandfathers, the avos, had the right to be morish, but they were never actually yorish it themselves. They never had a muchsekis on this. So that was the shaila. He didn't know how to read this pasuk. What the pasuk meant, was it a Yerusha, which case, again, they owned it, the avos owned it? Or was it only a marasha, where they're passing it on because it's a zechus, but they never had any control over the land? And the Gemara answers, so that's the shaila. That was the shaila Moshe Rabbeinu had. And what was the answer? Upashile tarvayu. He answered both of these shailas. Now, this tarvayu is a little bit unclear what this means. Rashbam talks about this, but both of them are answered as follows. Yerusha lachem me'avoseichem umarishin neveinam yorshim. So again, it's still confusing. And what the Rashbam ends up saying is both of them are true. Both that it was a Yerusha, that the avos had a chelik in it, and it was also they were morish it to their great-grandchildren of the avos. I mean, everybody knew that it was a morishin that was given from the avos. That everybody knew. The only real shaila was it also considered a Yerusha whereby that the avos own them? And both of them are answered from this pasuk, since it says Yerusha hilachem, it's for you from your fathers, tells you that there was a chazakah on the property earlier. Again, it's confusing how to read this in a flowing way. We can look at the Rashbam for a second here. Look at the Rashbam, the Maschil Pashtulei. He says, Mishmei de Tervayu Mashma, and Midamar Le Rachmana Vavarta Zechelik Bechora, Shmamina She Dirushahi, Lachem Mavoseichem Nami Kamarachmana. Ava Marishin Veinan Yorshin Mimela Haviyadar Kidaprishis. They always knew that the Eretz Yisrael was a Marasha, was given over from the Avos. That much they knew. But they weren't sure whether it's considered Yerusha. Again, they sound the same. Morishin is to give it over. Yerusha means it was already owned from a previous generation. So that's what's being answered here. That's also considered Yerusha. Again, as Rashbam says, V'hai de pashalei tarvayu lo kai amorishin b'nu yorshin. That already we knew. Ella, the answer is, Ayerusha hi lachem me'avoseichem kai. That's Yerusha that you had already from the avos. They're both true. So again, it's a confusing read of the Gemara here. The Rashbam seems to be struggling as well. But in the end of the day, we're passing that it is Yerusha. That was a suffix of Moshe. He wasn't sure whether it's Muchzekesi, and the psak is it is considered Muchzekesi. Behind Udechsev and finish this piece off, that's exactly what it says in Az Yashir. It says, Tivi'emo v'sut'emo, Bahar Nachlasecha. It says, they will plant on the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. But it doesn't say Tivienu lo nemar. It doesn't say we will come into Eretz Yisrael. Tivienu ela tivienu. Not that we will come in, but they will go in. So this is what they were saying in Az Yashin. This is all before the Meraglim. Now they thought they were going to Eretz Yisrael. So why do they say they will go in? It should say we're going in. So the Gemara is melamed shem misnabim mein yodim ma nisnabim. They were prophesizing, but they weren't aware what they're prophesizing by them saying they will go in. And they were not including themselves. Here was understood that they were not zocha to go into Eretz Yisrael themselves. So, what's the connection to the previous discussion? How does that connect to Yerusha and Marasha? So, look what the Rashbam says around 10 narrow lines up in Kiyotze Bedavar Ata Omer. So, it's a little bit different girsa. Hainu dechsiv sounds like it's exactly the same thing. Rashbam changed the girsa to Kiyotze Bedavar. It's saying in a similar way. Which is what Rashbam says. Just like the words earlier, "V'nasati l'osalachem marasha" is supposed to be a prophecy that there's going to be marasha. V'afagav shelochatu adayin, even though the sins didn't happen yet, of chet meraglim v'lo nigzer gzera. Still, it was a prophecy that's going to be Yerusha, that the people walking in the midbar are not going to be zoch in the land. It's going to be a marasha down to their children in Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, the same thing. Another pasuk where shenisnabu shelo yikantu l'eretz, that they had a nevuah, not knowing what they were prophesizing, that they would not enter into Eretz Yisrael. Afa pi shadayin lo nigzar lehen shelo yikanes. Even though the gzera hadn't happened just yet, still they had prophesized in Oz Yashir. Now the Marsha points out here that it's clear from the Gemara that Klal Yisrael were the ones singing together Oz Yashir. Everybody sang it together. There's a discussion in the middle of Masechta Sota that talks about how it was sung. Moshe said a stanza and then Klai Yisrael. But either way, you see the Klai Yisrael were the ones singing it together. And they weren't aware what they were even singing. What are they referring to? But they quote in the back here, Rashi al Torah, on the Pesukim of Az Yashir, says Moshe Rabbeinu was Hisnabe al Atzma. He was prophesying about himself, that he himself wasn't going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. He knew that he wasn't going to enter in. He had an awareness of that. So he was aware of that. But that Rashi seems to go against this Gemara here, which says that Klai Yisrael was unaware. Which you could just very easily say that no, they sang it all together. Klai Yisrael didn't know what they were saying, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what he was saying. So just different perspectives of whether or not there was an awareness of what they are prophesizing towards. Now just turn back for a second, sorry, to the Baam Tosos and Amud Aleph. Tosos says, Shenemar, Mechale Mosumas of Aloha Yodeb Eza Misa Nerak. So Tosos asks a question that Im Tomar Lama Haya Mistapek, why was he unclear? Haya Lo Laduna Bechenek, the Chal Misa Hamur Betorah Stam Chenek. We have a Klal in Sanhedrin. At any time, it doesn't specify what the Misa is, so you should give chenek. So there's no Misa singled out here. So Moshe Rabbeinu should have known this klal to give chenek as the Misa. So Tosfos answers, "V'yesh shlomar, there's room to say that the misvara haya nira lo shenidon b'skila. He thought that maybe the case of Shabbos should get skila. K'over it avodah zarah. The bechol duchta, we always say all over the play, all over Shas, the doma Shabbos l'avodah zarah, dehainu mechal Shabbos b'far hesya l'over it avodah zarah." Person who desecrates Shabbos in public is no different than a person who's worshipping Avodah Zarah. And so for that reason, Moshe Rabbeinu thought this is hard to say. Maybe it should be Skila. So he was suffolk whether it should be Chenek or Skila. That was a suffolk until he brought the proof that it's supposed to be, the Kadosh Baruch Hu told him it's supposed to be Skila. Okay. Maranel says, let's go weiter. Maranel says back in Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis, around 10 lines down, V'tamona lefnei Moshe lefnei Elazar Koren lefnei Nisim v'chala Eda. So Bnos Slavcha presented their Shaila to Moshe, then they presented it to Elazar, according then to the rest of the Nesim. Very strange thing. So Gemara says, Efshar Amdu Lefnei Moshe V'chulei, V'lo Amru Lo Davar. They went to Moshe, Moshe didn't give them an answer. Amdu Lefnei Anisim V'chuleida. So they're going to go now down, they're going to go downgrade to people who don't know as much Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't make any sense. They should first go to the Nesim. The Nesim didn't know, then they should go to Elazar. And then if Elazar didn't go, they should go to Moshe. So why does the Torah say the opposite order? And so the Gemara answers, Ela Saras HaMikra V'Darshua Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. It's out of order, the Pasuk's out of order, that really Rashbam says here, two wide lines down, V'Darshua, Kolomar Darshua Kilo Kasa L'Mafreya. You're supposed to make a drasha that really what happened, L'maisa, he first went to the Eda, the Nesim, the Elazar, and then to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is it presented in this order? Just to show cover to Moshe Rabbeinu, to list him first in the Torah, but in the order in which they presented the Shaila, Moshe, in fact, was the last one to ask. You build up, you go up to the highest court as you appeal. So then that's all according to Rabbi Yoshia. But Abba Chanan Amar, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, the base medrash Hayu Yoshin, they were all sitting in the base medrash, learning in a Chabura. Imagine that Chabura there. V'hal chavamdu lehen, lefnei kulin. They went to the base medrash, the women walked into the base medrash, and they asked the Shaila to all of them. So, b'may kemifki, what's the machlokas? So about what happened? What are they arguing about? It's not an issue of Matzias. There must be some halachic discussion they're having here. Whether or not they asked first the Nesim and then the Elazar and then Moshe, or they asked them all in one shot. So Mar Sever, one holds that cholkin kavod lo Talmud b'makom haraf. One holds that you could show respect to a Talmud even in the place of the Rebbe. So they're saying that if you're going to Moshe Rabbeinu to ask a Shaila, so even though Elazar is a Talmud and the Nesim are all Talmidim, you could still show honor that she asked everybody together. That's showing kavod to a Talmud, b'makom haraf. But Marsava, the other opinion who felt, ain't cholkin. You can't show kavod to a Talmud. If you're asking Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not going to acknowledge the presence of Elazar and the rest of Nesim. So what happened, it must have been that first they went to the Nesim, not in the presence of Moshe. Nesim didn't know the answer. So then they went to Elazar. Shalobafnei Moshe. And then they went to Moshe Rabbeinu afterwards separately. But it wasn't all in the presence of Moshe. So again, the machlokas is, do you show honor to a Talmud in B'makom Haraf? The Gemara says, Hilchasa, the psak is, bottom line, Chalkin, Hilchasa ain't Chalkin. Gemara says, we paskin, you show kavod. And then it says, we paskin, we don't show kavod to the Talmud. Obviously, it's a kasha, Hilchasa, Hilchasa. Two contradicting psakim. So the Gemara says, Hilchasa, Hilchasa, Lakasha, there is no stira here. Hada Palagle Rabbe Yikara, Hada Palagle Rabbe Yikara. It depends on whether or not the Rebbe shows honor to the Talmud or not. If the Rebbe is showing honor to the Talmud, so then others could also. Look at Rashbam, around six wide lines down, the end of the line. Hoda palagle Rabbe de Talmud Yikra. When the Rebbe shows honor to the Talmud, Vada Nichale, that's it's good for the Rebbe. Shechalkulo gam achem kavod. If I, the Rebbe, show my own Talmud kavod, it's certainly nice to see others show my Talmud kavod. It gives me nachas. Moshe Rabbeinu palag yikar lechol Yisrael v'chein zelazet. He showed honor to every year, kavachomer to these great nesim and Elazar Kohen. So that's that's the one who holds that you do show honor to everyone, and it's a situation where the slavchar presented the shaila to all this, the whole chabura, and you say Elazar was there, nesim were there, because Moshe Rabbeinu appreciated the kavod and got nachas that others would give his talmidim. But the other opinion felt that if it's a situation where the Rebbe is not showing kavod to the Talmud at all, the Talmud sits in the back row, not up next to the Rebbe, so then others shouldn't show kavod to the Talmud as well. Okay, Gemara now says, Tana, this is what we find in Rashi al-Torah as well, I quote some of this Gemara here, B'noset Slavchad Chachmani Osein, they were very wise, Darshani Osein, they knew how to darshan psukim, Tikani Osein, they're also very righteous ladies. So the Gemara says, Chachmani Osein, with respect to Shilafi Shah, Dibro, they chose a proper time to speak, when to speak up, when to ask the Shah, they knew exactly the greatest time. Dam Rabbi Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak, Milamed Shahaya Moshe Beinu Yoshev Adorish Beparsha Shivamim. He went to shir, and women went to shir also. So Moshe Rabbeinu was giving a shir klali, and a shir about the Yibum halachas. Shenamar quotes the pasuk, Ki yashu achim yachdav, and when brothers are alive in this world, and one brother dies, leaves behind a widow, childless widow, so then the brother-in-law would perform Yibum. So it goes on to say, Amru lo, so if there's a brother, the pasuk says, if there's a son, so then there's no Yibum as we know in the case of a son. So Amru lo, so the b'nos slavcha said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Im keben anu, and the halach is also a bas. Whether if the widow has a bas, ben or a bas, there's no yibum. So they say to Moshe, Im keben anu chashuvim tinu lanu nachla. Keben, if you're telling us in this shir about yibum that a daughter is like a son, so when it comes to nachlas also, we should be just as strong as daughters, as sons. Im lav, if the halach is that a bas is not like a ben in regards to nachla, so then tisyabim, then shouldn't work for yibum either, and you should let our mother do yibum, and because she has no sons. So tisyavim imenu. So miyad, immediately Moshe understood what they were asking. Vayikra Moshe mishpatei lefnei Hashem. He presented the shaila to Hashem. But they knew the right time to ask the shaila on that topic. They kind of they cornered Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what happened here. Okay, there's a big discussion how they knew the. Actually, that's the next point. I'm sorry. The Gemara now goes on to say, Darshani Osein, they knew how to darshan. Shahayu Omros, they would say Ilah Hayala Ben Lo Dibarnu. Had we had my father had a son, we wouldn't have spoken because they knew the pasuk of in lahaya ben. If there's no son, only that's the situation when a daughter steps in. But there is no son, so they're able to make such a drasha. So they knew how to darshan. So the Gemara says v'hatane. Doesn't the Brayta say bas? So unclear exactly what was being asked in the shaila. Rashbam points out if there was a bas, they wouldn't have spoken. Said had there been a bas, we wouldn't have spoken. So what does that even mean? They are the benos. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Some in Mikan Bas. There's a mistake here. Ignore that price. It doesn't make any sense. But Abai Amar, no. Afilo haya bas leben lo divarnu. Had our father, Tzlafchad, had a son, we wouldn't have spoken. And had our father had a son and left behind a daughter from that, a granddaughter from the son, we wouldn't have spoken either. That's the Nura Darshan. But at the end of the day, he had no sons, no children from sons. So here we are, as a Benos Tzlafchad, we want the Yerusha.
Which is a chiddush, because we said before the Sadukim did learn that way, that when there's a bas of a ben, that the bas should go before the bas of the ben, right? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to give them the response. So you see, there was like a whole, there's a shaila how you darshan there. They had a kavod
homer. The whole history goes back for a while to this story. Now, there's a debate here in the Rashbam and Tosfos how they knew the idea that a son is supposed to get a Yerusha here. So Rashbam says because they knew Parshas Nachlos. Even though Parshas Nachlos wasn't written just yet, it was only written after they presented the shaila, they were aware of the Parshas Nachlos. It was the Yadua. But Tosa asks, it wasn't written yet. There's no way they can know that which wasn't written yet. So Tosa goes on to give a number of explanations. So one pasuk it says, "V'senachaltem livneichem." It says that the nachla goes to the sons, and the drasha is velo livnoseichem. Others say it's a misvara. So a few different answers Tosa suggests as how they knew the ben velo habas is yorish. Let's finish off the one line here, then we'll stop. The Gemara says, Tzidkani Yotain, how do we know they were very righteous ladies? Shelo Nisu Ela Lahagon Lahen. We're going to learn, I'm not sure if it's tomorrow or in the next couple of days, but they had the right, they were able to marry anybody they wanted from any Shevet, Rashbam says, but yet they chose to marry only great people that were proper for them. That shows their true Tzidkus. And we'll stop here. This next sugya goes into the, deep into the next stop, so we'll stop over here. Everybody have a wonderful day.